Welcome to the Susan Murphy Milano Show. Time's Up. Produced and broadcast on the Zeus Radio Network for Hear Women Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Susan Murphy Milano. Thank you for joining us on Time's Up, where every week we try to bring you things that aren't in the news and things that are in the news and issues of importance as it affects intimate partner violence relationships, crimes, and missing persons. Along with me every week is my co-host, Delilah. She is the creator of the blog for crime survivors, Time's Up, blog.blogspot.com. She's also the president of ImaginePublicity.com. And she helps me every week not only come to the studio, keep me in line, but she does so many things.
That's a full-time job.
She does so many things for missing persons across the country with the Q Center. So I am grateful every week that I have somebody to be told to be quiet with and not do certain things.
Are you kidding?
Yeah! You know, Delilah, you and I, I write for Forbes as well. I write for Crime, She Writes, with Diane Fanning, Catherine Casey, Kathy Scott, and Dr. Gina Simmons every week. And I put up a post yesterday called Words Can Lead to Murder. And again, it's on Forbes.com. And it's about a 19-year-old girl, Katie Nagel. She was just 19 years old and dating someone who was out of high school. She had met him during high school when she was still in her last year of school. And the young man was 22. And on Monday, around noon, sometime around then, news reports had come out that she was stabbed to death. He was the one that had made the phone call. Katie's was found in the home, his home, allegedly. And he called the police, and he was immediately arrested. And then on Tuesday, he was arraigned in court where the judge set a $2 million bond.
Wow.
Yeah. And Delilah, in small towns, this is a town of like 9,000 people, mm-hmm. very small. Mm-hmm. Everybody's close. And there's already, within not even 24 hours, over 22,000 views, a lot of comments that didn't get through because they were too disparaging, they were too negative. And I think that you and I speak a lot of this, of these cases.
We see a lot of it that is basically an attack on the messenger. And not only on your piece, I did see the same thing on some of their local news media sites. It's a normal reaction. These people are shaken to the core by this. This doesn't happen in little towns like this, so they think. And I think what half the problem is people don't understand the issue. They don't understand what has gone on in this relationship, even though it might be a brother, it might be a best friend, it might be someone very close to either one or both of them. There's a lot in the dynamics of this whole relationship that they didn't see.
No.
And
they got upset by that, and that's the wrong thing, because I say in the post what they have to do. And sometime between when Katie was killed, but before police arrive, the boyfriend posted a message on his Facebook page, which is now down since the Forbes article. It said, "I love you, Katie Nagel, with a heart," followed by an eerie reply of a thumbs-up response in Katie's name, as if to say she liked his Facebook status. It appeared from the time the response was posted, Delilah, and everybody that's listening, that he may have logged in on the Facebook from a computer or a cell phone, responding as if it were Katie. But I think that by that time, she may have already been gone, which, again, the timeline of the posts, the arrests, and some other information that we had received. And then, and I think that our next guest, Sandra Brown, will be able to really answer this when we bring her on, is that you write in the Facebook pages, and we all do this, you answer questions. Her boyfriend answers this question: what's the worst four words someone can say to you? His response: I never loved you. So, and I knew that this might be speculation on my part, but his answer may be a reflection of his mindset. Most of us don't take well to rejection, but we deal with it and we move on. In this case, a young man likely filled with rage acted out in a way that's beyond all of our understanding. It's clear from Katie's personal Facebook that our community is devastated. One by one, close friends and classmates from a tight-knit town of Napoleon, Ohio, left words of light and love for this young woman whose life was abruptly ended by a young man who may have heard her only say to him in the conversation, "I can't be with you anymore." Maybe that's, Delilah, maybe that's all she said. And but he interpreted it as and maybe internalized it as, "I never loved you," which again goes to his words.
Well, and I think, too, the thing that people need to know, and especially the local community, is the fact, no, you don't know exactly what was said. You weren't there.
But I took his words.
However, what they're missing is the fact that there's a certain pattern of conduct in all of these. You've investigated, you've worked with the victims for over 20 years. There's a certain pattern that you see time after time. And I don't know too many times when it's not there.
No. And that was another reason. Again, she would have just been another headstone. And that's not what I do every day. That's not what Sandra Brown does every day from the Institute. That's not what any of us do. And we try to save lives. And so, you know, name-calling threats, that's not going to be able to undo anything. And most of the posters, they're Mikey and Katie's age. And they've had the opportunity to do something positive in their community. A friend, her best friend on Tuesday, they have this wonderful vigil for her. She lost her life, period, to intimate partner homicide.
I think what you'll see, too, once, you know, the chaos and the grief and all of the turmoil of emotions that these people are going through, once this settles, I think you'll find that there's going to be a core group of people. They're going to come out. They're going to get active. They've been affected by this personally. And the best thing that they can do is get out there, do something about it so that there isn't another instance.
And that's what we say at the end of the piece on Forbes. And it's all of our chance, not just from that community,
right. But
to raise a voice for a Katie. Mm-hmm. The prevention of this deadly epidemic, 8 to 10 women, young girls lose their lives. They're hijacked to murder. I know that, you know, people don't really come out and say that, but again, the piece on Forbes is called "Words Can Lead to Murder," and there's no finger pointing. It was factual, and again, she's dead. She was murdered. We know that for a fact. And a community can really raise up. In the schools, in the library, at the Chamber of Commerce. We give them all of the things to do.
And you're right. Then there is a lot of things they can do. You know, people sit and think, well, I'm just little old me. What can I do to make a difference? But, you know, if you gather together with other people that have like minds and want to do something positive, it'll happen.
And, you know, that's why, like I said, it was interesting that on Monday when Katie Nagle is murdered, that's the 23rd year of my mother being murdered, my mother being gone. And so it did resonate. It did hit a chord with me, as it does every day, but in a different kind of a way. And so I was, after looking at everything, after making some phone calls, after speaking to some people down in Ohio, you know, I was able to see and glean from what did or didn't happen. And you can't cut and paste somebody's life. So in my opinion, we gave Katie Nagle a voice, and I hope you all raise that voice and take it someplace. Now let's start our show. Today it's about how to survive a relationship before, during, and after divorce and custody. Sandra Brown is no stranger to the show. She is the CEO of the Institute for Relational Harm Reduction and Public Pathology Education. That's a mouthful. I just say to people to go to SafeRelationshipsMagazine.com. She's the author of the book, one of my favorite books, How to Spot a Dangerous Man. Also another wonderful book, a bestseller, Women Who Love Psychopaths, Inside the Relationships of Inevitable Harm with Psychopaths, Sociopaths, and Narcissists. Welcome to the show, Sandra Brown.
Thank you. Hello, ladies.
And we also have with us Tracy Murphy. Tracy Murphy is a survivor. Tracy Murphy's from California. She has kind of not gotten out of her way through the various years in her relationship, and I think that 2009, 2010 was the mark of moving forward and getting out of your own way to leave. She does a lot of things with Trish McKnight. She's part of a private group that assists victims who are in these kind of relationships, mothers without custody. She's out there as a powerhouse advocate, getting the dialogue started, but also doing something about it. Welcome, Tracy Murphy.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You know, Tracy, let's begin with you, because you've been in a relationship on and off at various stages. Let's talk about when you grew up. Did you see abuse growing up in your home? Did you see, you know, your mother being abused by somebody? Were you abused as a child?
No, I wasn't abused as a child. I didn't. I had an absent father. And so my mother, she was quite strong. She grew up with a lot of abuse in her house. So when she got married and her relationships were bad, she chose not to stay in them, and she took us and she raised us on her own. And although she did a great job, I didn't have my father, so I didn't know what a man is really supposed to be. All I knew is what my father was.
Well, a man is supposed to be Tarzan.
All right.
And
that's what I was taught.
Yes.
And because I was taught that,
swinging from the trees,
chose relationships like that, like my father.
Yeah.
So,
the first time you, and I know you've been married, a couple times.
I was so married once.
Once? Well, in relationships a couple times with people that didn't. So the father of your children, you know, that wasn't a very good relationship.
No.
And.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, because I knew it was going in the wrong direction, I got out. And I filed for divorce. And, I had custody of the kids, and then I didn't get help for me, and I just kept living my life the way I thought was right, and I chose another relationship that was even more abusive than the first one.
You know, we're going to come right back. We're going to take a commercial break. Everybody, we're with Sandra Brown, author of Women Who Love Psychopaths, and Tracy Murphy from California. Stay with us as we dive in on the other side on Time's Up.
All your pictures fade to gray. I turn each one face down, so I stop seeing you that way.
Social media is all about the buzz, and now is your chance to build an exciting career from the ground floor with Zeus Media Network. Zeus Media Network, offering the fastest growing social internet platforms in the marketplace, is seeking qualified candidates for local, regional, and national sales positions. The ideal candidate will be a personable, self-starting individual with a passion for helping companies grow. Top performers representing Zeus Media Network are rewarded with a generous, competitive commission structure and unlimited potential. If you possess the fire to succeed at sales and want to work with a company on the cutting edge of technology, then email your resume and contact information to carol@zeusmedianetwork.com. Once again, email your resume and contact info to carol@zeusmedianetwork.com. Zeus Media Network. Hear it. See it. Click it.
Jan Hargrave, author, consultant, and body language expert, otherwise known as the Raging Cajun. As an expert in nonverbal communication, I know how important it is and how it empowers you once you understand it. Hear Women Talk is all about empowering women through groups, blogs, videos, and important radio shows like this one. Let's change the world together, one woman at a time, by inviting a friend to join us at www.hearwomentalk.com. Part of the Zeus Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Jesse Jordan with Further Faster Initiatives, and you're listening to Hear Women Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Time's Up with the Jane Wayne of Justice, Susan Murphy Milano.
We are back with author Sandra Brown, Women Who Love Psychopaths and How to Spot a Dangerous Man, and Tracy Murphy from California, and always my sidekick every week, Delilah from ImaginePublicity.com. And during the break, I thought it was interesting that, Tracy, you took a deep breath and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm sweating." And I said, "Why?" And then, Sandra, what's your response to, after all this time, because she's been out of the relationship with the children's father for so many years. How many years has it been, Tracy?
Since 2000.
Okay, since 2000.
Do you get all sweaty when you do your own radio show,
Tracy?
Or nervous?
No, only
when you're. Do you feel like you're put on the spot?
Here? No, it's when I'm talking about the stuff.
Okay, so
I know what it is.
Okay, so Sandra, why is it after all this time? Because when you and I speak and we make presentations and we teach, somebody inevitably comes up to us after the event and says, and they're shaking when they talk to us. And it's been so many years. What is it about that you said triggers it?
Well, it is a trigger. It's a trauma trigger. And when people do get triggered, and if the trauma remains unresolved, people can get triggered for 30 years.
Okay, I don't understand. What does that mean? What does it mean to be unresolved? When I see unresolved or when you say trigger, I think of a person in combat who's come back from the war and 5, 6, 10 years later starts to react or get sweaty like this when he talks about being in combat. Is this the same thing?
It's the same thing. I mean, we're talking about a trauma reaction. It could be, you know, an acute trauma disorder, or maybe it's as severe as post-traumatic stress disorder. And people can get triggered, you know, 30 years later. We saw that with Vietnam vets coming back, going in, you know, having reactions as if it were happening again. So when Tracy starts talking about it, she has a visual image of what she's saying as she's saying it, and the body responds as if it was happening right now and starts releasing adrenaline, which makes you jumpy, shaky, sweating.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, right. So you divorced this person. How quickly between the time you divorced the father of your children, was it a difficult divorce? Did he amicably divorce you, or was there a rocky road with mediation and lawyers and trying to make the marriage work?
No, believe it or not, it went smoothly because I took action right away, and I was the one that filed for the divorce, and I got the child support, and so there was really not much of an argument. But the amount of time that I waited before I got into another relationship was none. I literally, as soon as the divorce happened, a best friend of mine approached me, and I got involved.
So you're looking right away to have a nurturing, somebody there to support you, somebody there to love you, because your first marriage wasn't the best of anything, was it?
No, and I wanted that perfect family.
But very often, that in and of itself is a trauma reaction, that jumping right back into a relationship kind of thing. You know, people that don't understand trauma would stand on the outside of that and judge that, you know, about why she would move so quickly. But actually, that's usually an indicator of trauma. It's like a trauma reenactment.
So then why do we want these dickless wonders to go ahead and re-enter our lives again? Why, Sandra, do we want to just jump into the fire? And
I don't think that anybody says, I hope I go pick another asshole again. Nobody sets out to do that. But when the trauma remains unresolved, you end up picking feels familiar.
So it's a smell of their cologne.
Well, and at what point do you know that your trauma is resolved, Sandra? I mean, is there like big lights come flashing on? How would a person know that it's over?
Well, I think that it's been tested out in various parts of their life.
I tell you what, use me as an example, Sandra. Maybe that's the best way. And I've never let you do that before, if you can. I know. Go ahead.
Okay. So you would see that, for instance, their functioning level in relationships, in business, in choices, are they consistently making sort of healthy choices? Or are they still having sort of knee-jerk reactions, picking the same kind of people over and over again?
So you go ahead and so take me, and 'cause you know probably more about me than anyone. Take me and run down the list a little bit as we attribute it to people on the outside so they can see a little bit better.
Well, you obviously have bounced back from the trauma to, you know, go on and write books, to be able to, you know, speak, to run a radio show, to creating businesses. So you see, you know, a functioning level returning. But sometimes women, you know, will make a really quick reaction to get back.
You can go ahead and say I'm hiding, because I know sometimes you think that I do. You can say that I'm hiding, because I know sometimes you think that I do.
Oh, hiding from relationships?
You are hiding from that I get so busy and do certain things because I won't go certain places. I mean, I know that sometimes – I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
The protection mechanism.
But and I know that sometimes I can smell that you know, and you don't say it to me. But I can tell that you know that I'm kind of hiding behind things every once in a while because of – the pattern of conduct of my own relationships and growing up in the environment that I did. And so if we relate that to other people out there, it is the same, isn't it?
It is. And some people, and that's a really good point, because some people, avoidance factor, like what you just described with yourself, which is you submerge yourself into one aspect, which for you is work and business, and avoid a lot of outside contact or other people or getting a life. Whereas Tracy, for instance, other people can have the opposite reaction, which is, you know, moving towards something too quickly where you may have the avoidance. And both of those are actually indicators of trauma.
And that's a good point. And you know, Tracy, if we go back to August 1st of 2009, I have your journal in front of me, and it says, it still continues, I will not change unless actions are taken to change destructive patterns. I cannot change him. I continue with my counseling, therapy, group meetings. I love them. I feel growth every day. Each feeling of stepping forward is an equivalent to where I feel good inside. My choices are mine. I take accountability for them. I involve myself wrongly, and I know it. So you actually write this out.
Wow. I sure did. Wow.
And
so
you,
now
in me reading this, because you don't know that I was going to do this and that I have it, you know, in hearing the words come back to you, there was some epiphany, some place that you, there was a light bulb moment where you couldn't stay in the relationship.
Right.
Because what do you do with your own children as it relates to their relationship with their father? You send them back because it's dangerous, don't you?
Yes.
And so you don't take custody of the kids in the new relationship that you're in because it's not healthy because of what this individual is doing, whom you still have an order of protection from this to this day. In 2012,
right.
You still have an order of protection of this guy because he's obsessed with you. He's angry. He still wants you back, doesn't he?
Yes.
And so the safest choice,
I just got another email. I just got another email from him yesterday.
What did it say?
And so now what he does is the social networking. He's trying to find me through social networking. So I get social networking.
I want to tell you what. Why don't you respond to him and give him my email address? I'd love to talk to him. Maybe we have him on the air. That'd be a good thing. Let's let him evolve a little bit and let him, you know, talk why he loves you so much and at the same time why he almost killed you. How many times were you in the hospital and have continued for your surgeries and injuries based on what this bozo did?
Well, I'm still fighting an infection as we speak right now. I'm on antibiotics, but
talk about your back, the abuse that you suffered.
That happened in 2006. I was in and out of I've been to the emergency room. I've had broken arms. Both my arms were broken at the same time. I was run off the road by a car, and I crashed. And I was on my rollerblades, so my whole side of my skin, all my legs, just got all torn up. There's another time. There was a guy waiting out in front of my house with leather gloves on, and I caught on the phone with 911 to say this guy was doing this, and then all of a sudden my dog stopped barking, so I thought he was gone, and she said, oh, is he gone? And I said, I think so. And of course, crazy me, what did I do? I opened the door, and when I opened the door, the pitchfork came flying at me and luckily hit the frame of the door and then crashed down. And the
was this somebody that he hired, or was this the abuser mm-hmm. himself?
No, he'd have other people do this.
And so you were in constant fear, and let me tell the audience, although you can't see it, I've got police reports, I've got medical reports, I've got doctor's reports, as every person that we ever have on the show, I do not have on the show unless I have these documentations, and that's really important. So this person hires other people to do his dirty work. Sandra, what does that mm-hmm. say about the mindset of somebody that is such a coward, besides doing what he does behind closed doors? When the person ends a relationship, he starts getting other people to enlist in his party of cowardice and tries to kill somebody.
Well, I mean, I think it's an indicator of no conscience. My first guess would be, you know, he has some level of sociopath or psychopathic, because who does that? You know, I mean, we used to call them mafia, didn't we? I mean, they hire people to kill people.
Yeah.
So, no conscience.
Tracy, yeah, in 2009, so, you say, I can't explain quite yet why I went back. I suppose survival reasons. As I evaluate each reason, I have realized it's not worth it. I am sacrificing myself, my worth, my happiness. I actually believe I could handle the toxicity while I had and redefine myself. Again, I was wrong. For you to be able to say you were wrong, Tracy, was a big step, wasn't it?
Yeah. That last time I went back to that relationship, it only lasted June to August. When I went back that last time, it was within the first 2 weeks I knew it was wrong, and I knew I had to get out. But this is the time that I realized that all those other attempts that I had made to get out of that relationship were going to, you know, they were costing my life. So this time I needed to do it safely.
Sandra, real quick, what is it about that Tracy and so many other people do that she loves him so much? Is it, we've talked about this before, when we give birth mm-hmm. to children, Delilah and Sandra and Tracy, we forget the pain the next day. I know Dustin, our producer, is not capable of giving birth back there, besides lip service. But when they give birth and they the next day forget the pain because it's such a lovely thing, what is it about the aroma of the relationship that they'll return to, and they forget, Sandra, how much pain they cause or the threats that, why do they wipe it out of their mind?
Well, one of the things that we researched and found about these women is the way that they store memory. And like rape victims, for instance, with trauma, the flashbacks they have are of the trauma or the negative stuff, where these women tend to have flashbacks of the good times, those close, cuddly moments, whereas other women who have not ended up in these relationships store memory a little bit differently. And so these women get flooded constantly with those images of when the relationship was good or they perceived it to be good.
We have to take a break, everybody. Stay with us on the other side. Time's up. Author Sandra Brown, Delilah, and Tracy Murphy from California. And we're going to talk about Time's Up and how you yourself, if you're involved in an abusive relationship, need to go to DocumentTheAbuse.com and need to get out of your own way and safely leave the relationship. Stay with us, everybody.
Hi, I'm Jack Canfield, motivational speaker and co-author of more than 200 Chicken Soup for the Soul titles, and HearWomenTalk.com is all about feeding the soul of every woman through groups, blogs, and some of the best no-holds-barred talk radio the Internet has to offer. Chicken Soup for the Soul has shown our readers that everyone has a great and inspiring story to share, and Hear Women Talk is inspiring women to share the very best of themselves. I'm Jack Canfield for HearWomenTalk.com, part of the Zeus Radio Network.
We're Real Estate Hookup with 25 years' experience appraising real estate in Myrtle Beach and on the Grand Strand in North Carolina and South Carolina. After 35,000 appraisals, we know which realtors do best with short sales, who best knows the condo market, and the different realtors specializing in different areas of the beach. We hook you up with the best agent, and we do it for free. That's right, free. We take the guesswork out of buying real estate in Myrtle Beach and the Grand Strand. Call us today at 843-868-1214. That's 843-868-1214. RealEstateHookup.com.
Tonight, take an adventure on the Myrtle Beach Ghost Walk. Explore the haunted swamps where alligators and the ghosts from long ago still reside. Stroll across floating walkways beneath the Spanish moss as your pirate guide leads you by lantern and shares 13 spooky tales along the way. The Ghost Walk departs nightly at dusk, only at Barefoot Landing in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Call 843-361-2700 or visit MyrtleBeachGhostWalk.com for advance tickets. The Myrtle Beach Ghost Walk.
Hi, this is Jessica Dorvaj, host of the Where Is My Guru show, and you are listening to Hear Women Talk Radio.
Blazing the trail, the Jane Wayne of justice is circling the courthouses of America, speaking up for those who have been silenced. Susan Murphy Milano declares, time's up. And now, back to Susan Murphy Milano, because there's never too much Susan Murphy Milano.
Back and we're talking about relationships, divorce, custody, abuse, violence, getting out of your own way. And, you know, Tracy Murphy, when you had initially written to me sometime right after the Time's Up book had come out, and you were desperate to talk to me, and there's a lot of things, you know, Delilah, you and I always talk about this, and I think sometimes you're amazed at the fact that in somebody's words I can read what I'm not going to do. That I can see what they need, and I facilitate that as best as I can. And so when you had sent me this long, I call it pukey email, because it was your feelings, your fears, your abuse were coming through every single word. You may have said, hi, I'm doing great, but to me it meant I'm falling apart, I'm Humpty Dumpty, and I cannot get back on the wall again. That's what I saw in your words. So that when you initiated contact with me after the book came out, I sent you a PDF copy of the book. And then you came back, and then I sent you the chapter 4 specifically, and I said, do these things. Well, and then you said to me in various emails, because I just found them, well, you contact me. I need to talk to you. I was like, no, you don't. It's not that I won't talk to you. There's no reason to, because you are so wounded. You're oozing, and there's nothing that I can do except for to take you by the hand and help you and give you the tools. And it's not about talking to me. That's what Time's Up is for people to take what they need. You did this for about a year, and you didn't stop. And I realized it the other day when, and we're probably going to have her on the show in a couple of weeks with Pastor Shorey, a woman that I helped 20 years ago got a hold of me, Jackie Keys, the other night on Facebook and said, do you remember me? And she was part of the group that I got the stalking law passed in Illinois with. Christopher Wilson was terrorizing his wife at the time. Dawn Wilson was going to be killed if he had gotten out. A woman by the name of Connie Chaney. Again, I remember all these names. Connie Chaney was murdered in 1991 by her husband, and he was on a sheriff shootout for like 10 days. He finally died. And Dawn Wilson comes to me afterwards through an agency out there, and no one can keep this woman alive. And they kind of hand her to me to say, let's see if you can do it, Murphy. And Dawn Wilson does stay alive, but in that comes out of all of those domestic violence and abuse cases and murder cases of these people that I don't know, I start to keep women alive. And so for Jackie Keys to come to me and say, do you remember me? I want to tell you and update you on my life. I want to tell you that I survived. And Delilah, you made an interesting story about, or a comment about the observation of that why don't you go ahead and do you remember we were talking about swans and what you said?
Oh, yeah. It's always interesting when someone from the past comes back to you, because you do, like you explained earlier, you have this way of, okay, here's what you need, go do it, I'm gone. And bingo, bingo, bingo. And a lot of times, and see, I'm just the opposite. I'm way too empathetic to do what you do, because I'm like, I would go get all the little puppies out of the cages and bring them all home. But that's not helpful. That's not making them strong. That's not making them realize that they can do this, that they can get out of this themselves, rather than sitting around wallowing in a pity party. And see, I would be right in the middle of it, holding
their
hands.
But you said something very interesting. You said something about the swan.
Well, yeah, you've taken these women that, you know, society would consider the little ugly ducklings. Well, they've been beaten up. They've been knocked down. They have very little self-esteem left.
And in this case, it was attempted murder, and she had her teeth all gone.
Exactly. And what ends up today, you've got a, what do they call them, gaggle of swans?
Yeah.
Beautiful women who have survived, who have gone on to create wonderful things in their lives. And it's just, I don't know, to me, it's really cool.
I mean, it was cool that she got a hold of me, that social media does that. And she doesn't know this, and I don't know if she's listening. But and her sister had found me again. And she says very quickly, she said, she goes, will you keep in touch with me? Because she was asking me if I had kept, she remembered all these other victims' names. And I said, no, I said, I haven't kept in contact with them. And she said, will you please keep in contact with me? I said, I don't know, you know, I'm kind of busy. She goes, that's the same thing, Susan, that you said to me 20 years ago. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you just said that to me then. I said, because I've done my part. And Sandra, what people don't realize is that when we've done our part, it's time for you to go off and fly on your own. Soar through the sky, isn't it? Sandra?
Yeah, because, you know, I think that, you know, parts of, you know, the abusive relationship is that it creates levels of dependency. And what we do is not to allow them to create those levels of dependency.
And that's important. And for you, Tracy, when we go back to you're contacting me over and over and trying every which way to get a hold of me, using people's names, whatever you could do to get me to react to you, and I didn't do it. And it would be a year and a half before I would even speak to you by telephone, because you're a little older, you're in your 40s, so you have taken the lessons very quickly and applied them. And in looking at the Time's Up book, I don't think I've ever asked you, what has been important to you that has helped you now because you're away from all this? What has been important, the steps that you took that you saw in the Time's Up book that made sense that you may or may not have applied?
You talk about, you know, not letting people know, even the people that you trust the most, when after you leave, they can easily be put in a position to then tell. So I made mistakes in that department because I had a friend that I thought I could trust. And so that to me hit home the most, because I learned that when you are going to leave, you can't tell. You can have a trusted person, but you can't tell anybody. You can't even tell your family, unless you have a very trustworthy family. But like my kids, I didn't want my kids to know. I didn't want my best friends to know, because I was so afraid that he was going to contact them and get them to talk, which he's done in the past. So to me, that was huge. Your safety is so important, and not just your physical safety, but your mental safety.
Well, here, in this journal real quick, it says, as soon as he feels my brokenness, manipulations of the I'm sorry's and I love you's, as soon as he senses forgiveness on my part, he goes in for the kill. That's what you say here.
Wow. I haven't read that since I wrote that.
All right. So he goes in for the kill. Sandra, then, while she's gathering her thoughts, jump in there, please.
Well, I think these guys have, you know, the sixth sense. That is one of the things that pathology or psychopathy is so good at. Is sensing that vulnerability and that brokenness. And what they do best is capitalize on that and manipulate that. And these are women who have huge hearts, you know, lots of empathy, lots of compassion, lots of traits that these guys are playing off of.
But is it interesting to you that she writes about this almost in a predictor fashion? As we see a lot of women who wind up dying, that they write this down, they write their thoughts, but they don't take action, they don't go for mental health services, they don't do things like Tracy did.
No, not all of them will, but you know, in her journals, we've been able to see those little breakthrough insights, you know, that she has. And I think part of the problem with why more women don't move forward like Tracy did, you know, has to do with how they store that memory, that flooding of positive memories. So she writes that, and she, you know, what is she writing about? That the I love you, the, you know, the positive part. So I think that's one of the women's biggest challenges.
And at the end of this, Tracy, you say, "What am I doing here?" in big letters. Tracy, go now. That's what you write at the end of this, and within 6 months you get a hold of me. And yeah. What is it about? Tell me about the guy that you were with. Tell me, was he handsome? Was he cunning? Oh, was he witty? Was
very,
he? Well, how did he make you feel?
Handsome. He was very handsome. He was very charming. He said all the right things.
What did he say to you?
Oh, how much he loved me, how wonderful I was, how beautiful I was, how I deserve to be treated like a queen, and you know, how he wants to have this bond and this closeness, and we just do our whole, you know, have our whole life.
So you felt like Cinderella on the Princess Mountain.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Stop. Hold on. Sandra, jump in. That feeling. Because it's that dickless wonder thing. I mean, is there such a power? What is it with the power? I call it the box in the third leg. What is it with the power of that energy when people get together that is so strong and so magnetic? What is it that he omits or she omits, or, you know, how can that be, and how can they not see this?
Well, because we have misguided a lot of women with this whole myth about, you know, what early relationship dynamics are supposed to be, and that intensity of attachment that they feel. A lot of times they think that's soulmate status, but we've identified...
I didn't see soulmate in Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty as kids. I didn't see the word soulmate even come up. So where is that coming from?
They didn't use the word, but they certainly saw the story.
What did you say, Tracy?
I think it's the happily ever after that people are going for.
And Sandra, is that possible?
Well, not with a psychopath, I mean, obviously, but
they do convince you. They're good at convincing.
All right, we're going to be back, everybody. We're with Sandra Brown and Tracy Murphy and Delilah from ImaginePublicity.com. We're live here in Myrtle Beach at the Zeus Radio Network. Stay with us, everybody. We're going to dive in one more time on the other side.
I'm Kate Clinton, and I make a living through observational and political humor, so having a voice is my stock and trade. But Here Women Talk is a serious place where women from every background network with other women to find their voice. We have a lot of fun here, too, but there's no place else like Here Women Talk, where no topic is taboo on our diverse radio shows and blog zine. Invite your friends and family to join us for new and exciting changes. I'm Kate Clinton from HearWomenTalk.com, part of the Zeus Radio Network.
Social media is all about the buzz, and now is your chance to build an exciting career from the ground floor with Zeus Media Network. Zeus Media Network, offering the fastest growing social internet platforms in the marketplace, is seeking qualified candidates for local, regional, and national sales positions. The ideal candidate will be a personable, self-starting individual with a passion for helping companies grow. Top performers representing Zeus Media Network are rewarded with a generous, competitive commission structure and unlimited potential. If you possess the fire to succeed at sales and want to work with a company on the cutting edge of technology, then email your resume and contact information to carol@zeusmedianetwork.com. Once again, email your resume and contact info to carol@zeusmedianetwork.com. Zeus Media Network. Hear it. See it. Click it.
Real Estate Hookup with 25 years experience appraising real estate in Myrtle Beach and on the Grand Strand in North Carolina and South Carolina. After 35,000 appraisals, we know which realtors do best with short sales, who best knows the condo market, and the different realtors specializing in different areas of the beach. We hook you up with the best agent, and we do it for free. That's right, free. We take the guesswork out of buying real estate in Myrtle Beach and the Grand Strand. Call us today at 843-868-1214. That's 843-868-1214. RealEstateHookup.com.
Hi, this is Jessica Dorvaj, host of the Where Is My Guru Show, and you are listening to Hear Women Talk Radio.
Susan Murphy Milano. Time's up, as Susan proves there's more to her reputation than a keen mind and a sweet stack of subpoenas. And now, much more Susan Murphy Milano.
Welcome back, everybody. Now we're on the site, documenttheabuse.com. We just launched it before Christmas, and we have a checklist, Sandra. It's, are you in a highly lethal relationship? The evidence abuse affidavit helps victims, their lethality risks, and relationships with abusers who have at least the ability perhaps to change or not to change. And victims really need to understand when they're in these and the risk factors that determine if the abuser will kill the victim. And the list has been combined from various resources. One is including the National Institute of Justice from 2009. What did you find, Tracy, that was so important and helpful in this lethality checklist?
Well, it's life-saving, and we don't think about the things, little things like the obsessiveness.
I think threats are really important.
Well, I think too another important thing to bring across is the fact that even if you only check one thing,
that's one thing
too
many.
You have a problem.
Right. It's one thing too many.
It's not graded like, you know, you get 50%, 80%, 90%. It's if you check off one thing honestly, you have a problem that needs to be dealt with.
And threats by the individual. And you know what? So I can clarify and I don't get a lot of that lovely mail that I receive. This is not gender specific. As a matter of fact, over the weekend in California, a young mother murdered her 1-year-old, her 3-year-old, her husband's cousin, and I don't know if the husband is also alive in California. And just
right.
4 or 5 weeks before in Effingham, Illinois, a mother murdered her three children, the father of one of the kids, and then took her own life. So this is not gender specific. It happens in gay and lesbian relationships. It's about power. It's about control. So any time anybody makes a threat and says, I'm going to hurt you, or says, you know, if you leave, it's not going to be in your best interest. I mean, I think we saw that with.
That's right.
You know, you heard that, Tracy, didn't you?
Yeah, and I want to bring that up about threat, Susan, because a lot of times people think a threat is actually saying they're going to kill you, when a threat doesn't actually have to be those exact words. It's like what you just said, it won't be to your best interest, or things like that. Those are threats.
Or when they read a newspaper story somewhere on the internet and they see somebody died and they'll say, see what can happen if you don't listen? Sandra, how important is that? That says right there, that's dead on, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think so many people underestimate the lethality of pathology. And I think that's why it's so important that we have that lethality assessment on documenttheabuse.com, because it's a wake-up call. A lot of women want to downplay that it's not that bad, or most men would do that. And I encourage people to go in and look at that lethality assessment, because like Delilah said, you know, just even one check mark on there could be fatal. That's why it's called a lethality assessment.
And the characteristics of these guys, you know,
we
don't hear about this because the person is married to them or in the relationship, and they think that sex is ownership. And so forced sex, forced, which, you know, come on, baby, come on. Lay there with your eyes closed. Tracy, what did you say?
I said I know that one well.
And it's the manipulation of they want to be – why is it, Sandra, that they want to be bonded in that way and it's not a mutual consent? What is it about that?
Well, sometimes there's the belief, you know, that she's becoming more bonded with the acts of sex. But since they don't understand intimacy, they don't understand that connection is formed through intimacy, not just sex.
And what is the difference between intimacy and sex, Sandra?
Emotional intimacy.
I mean, we have sport fucking, We have, you know, relationships that people just get together for just recreational. What is the difference between a relationship, sex, and a relationship, you know, an intimacy? Is there a difference? Because people don't know that.
Yes. I mean, there's the emotional connected or the emotional bondedness. Anybody can get together and rub body parts. I mean, animals do that. But it doesn't mean that they have the emotional intimacy and those emotional connections. And when women are in these pathological relationships with men who can't change, narcissists, sociopaths, psychopaths, they don't bond. Those men don't bond. And women become accustomed to having those kinds of relationships without emotional intimacy.
But Sandra, is it because...
to normalize abnormal behavior.
Is it sometimes because he has a hard time getting an erection? Is it because he has a hard time... he has to prove himself to be a man all the time? Could that be part of this?
Well, one of the things they found is that the hardwiring in the brain with these guys, that they are hypersexual. A lot of that has to do just with the brain in and of itself. Tracy, was your guy hypersexual?
Very. And then also to top it off, he would take like Viagra. So it was just a nightmare.
It's the Tarzan, you know, it's that Tarzan thing, and I just had a visual of one of my former husbands, and I tease all the time and say, I've had as many as you've changed your underwear in a week. You know, that's what they do. They go ahead and think that that's part of it, or that they're showing you in some way by giving you attention, but really it seems more like control and getting their rocks off, and it's nothing about you, is it?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. I never had a choice. I didn't have a choice at all. And if I said no, then there would be problems. So,
I think we need to discount the fact that anybody is capable of doing harm. That using or saying that the person did drugs or did alcohol, drank alcohol, or that they were in the war, that just really sends me to the moon, Sandra. Because it's an excuse for a behavior that they feel that they are entitled to. Yes?
I think any time that they minimize a behavior that you have said is problematic, I don't care what it is, but, you know, if you bring it up and it's a problem and they minimize that or justify, rationalize, deny, whatever, there's an issue.
And it continues to escalate in people. But if they have children, they love this person. They don't think that anybody's going to want them anymore. And, you know... Or we're seeing more cases, more and more situations where when she is moving on, like Casey Cotta, who died actually New Year's Day or night, was murdered by her husband, that she was done with him. She had moved on, and he reacted. So how can we get them to see prior to the reaction the importance of the evidentiary abuse affidavit, the importance of getting your words memorialized to do the evidentiary abuse affidavit, which is really a will and a video, so that he, when he survives in all of these cases, that he is held accountable and kind of the key is thrown away, Sandra. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think through public education that if women are having problems in their relationship, they need to consider doing that. They don't have to wait until they're beat. You know, on documenttheabuse.com, I mean, there's not a minimum amount of abuse that has to be experienced before they can do that. We need to train women that if you're having a problem, this is the first step that you do, you know.
Before you announce it to the world that you're going to end the relationship, because Tracy, you had to have a plan, didn't you, before you could leave?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to have it set because there were a couple times it didn't work. So it was a very structured plan.
And he has not gone away in all of this time. So you still have to be structured and cautious in how you proceed. Because you and I have spoken about this before, because once that order of protection is no longer in place, he's going to see a freedom, perhaps, to come back in and exercise his power over you. Is that something that you've thought about?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. oh yeah, I'm still, you know, worried about, you know, I don't want to forget the date that that restraining order is over, because I will go renew it.
What date is it over?
And I think it's 2014.
Okay, we also know, like I said, that he follows your stuff, he sees what you do, he knows. So again, I have an invitation for this bozo. I know his name. I'm not going to say it on the air because I'm just going to, you know, but email me at murphymilano@gmail, sir. Be happy to have you on the show if you'd like to talk about all of these things, because I've looked at the documentation. I've also looked at the horrific pictures of what you did to her. I've also seen the reports, and there's no denying it, but if you feel that you've changed, or maybe you want to help somebody else so they don't be, you know, as destructive as you are in somebody's life, because Sandra, this takes a toll, and it removes who that person is, doesn't it, when they're abused and they're beaten?
Well, all the women, you know, come out of these relationships and say they don't recognize themselves. You know, when will I ever feel like me? You know, my soul is gone. I feel dead inside. They suffer the ultimate abuse, which is the loss of self.
Tracy, right? now you're still a work in progress. You're moving forward. What people are listening from all over the country, what would you tell them to do as far as what you learned and what they need to follow as the prescribed procedure protocol in the DocumentTheAbuse.com and in the book Time's Up?
Educating yourself on your safety, and Time's Up hits every single area. Learning that you're not safe. And like you even say in the book, that sometimes we have a false sense of security. We think, okay, we go to a shelter or we go and get this help, that all of a sudden we're safe. But that doesn't mean anything. You really do need to take a look at your individual life and go through step by step and take each step to protect each thing that you do in your life.
Sandra, we've seen Tracy Murphy, who has prescribed to all, not just the things on the DocumentTheAbuse.com, but also all the mental health services that she can gather from therapists, from community, from meetings, from support. Please explain how important that is for anyone in these situations.
Well, we don't heal in isolation. We heal in community. And community could be you and the therapist, or you in a group, or you in a 12-step, or you in a church group. But let's not underestimate the damage that pathology does to other people, that you are probably wounded more than you even know. It's like peeling an onion. You know, you get through layer by layer until you get down to the core.
I look at it as like a bad sunburn. You know, that you have layers upon layers of skin that, you know, it's going to get peeled off, and you still have kind of a discoloration.
Or a hemorrhoid.
Well, I do this thing with a lot of people that I assist, and I say, when because the personality of the abuser, long after they're out of the relationship, continues, and I say, every time you use the facilities, flush the toilet and think of him. And that is because there's got to be some step that has to happen, a contact step, and that you feel like he's going to go away. So I just say, make sure that you've taken a big enough BM in the morning. We are out of time. Tracy Murphy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sandra Brown, Women Who Love Psychopaths. And please, everybody, go to DocumentTheAbuse.com. Also, get the book Time's Up. It's available at Amazon.com. You know, this to me was, I hope, an important show. And if you want to be a guest on the show, you can email me at murphymilano@gmail.com, and I'll consider it. Or if you're an author yourself of information, or you treat people across the country who are victims of murder and abuse and the missing, this show is dedicated to Katie Nagel, the entire hour, Napoleon, Ohio, who lost her life on January 16th, 2012. And to the family, who is now left with a very big void of a very big heart of a beautiful young girl. Mm-hmm. And please, everybody, again, if you know somebody that's in an abusive relationship, have them look at the site DocumentTheAbuse.com. We are live again for the hour next week here at Deuce Radio Network. Everybody stay with us until next week. Be safe and God bless.
All your pictures fade to gray. I turn each one face down, till I stop seeing you that way.
and you're good.